It is Wednesday, December 6th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. President Donald Trump prepares to announce the recognition of Jerusalem as the Israeli capital. Southern California battles dangerous wildfires.
If you get warm temperatures, as we've had recently in Southern California, and gusty winds, the fires can just spread like crazy.
And singer Selena Gomez gets some international recognition as well as improved health. It's all ahead. President Donald Trump is set to announce Wednesday his intention to reverse decades of U.S. policy and recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel. Tuesday, he informed several Middle Eastern leaders about his decision, including Palestinian Authority President Mahmoud Abbas, who warned of the dire consequences of such an announcement on the peace process. Hussam Zomlot is the chief delegate of the Palestine Liberation Organization in Washington. He warned the announcement will suffocate any room for a different future.
We very much hope that this decision will be reversed, that the long-held U.S. policy will be maintained, that the U.S. will continue playing the role of the honest, fair mediator, that the written promises of the United States of America will remain valid, and that we will focus on the real one thing that we need the most. The one thing we need the most is peace, my friend. The one thing that we need the most at this point in time is a comprehensive, lasting, credible, dignified agreement that brings people's aspiration in all sides into being, and that puts that very troubled region on a different course for a different tomorrow. This is what we need.
Zomlot called it a double hit, first as a blow to Palestinian hopes, and second, totally against past U.S. promises. Michael Fishbach is a history professor at Randolph-Macon College in Virginia who follows the Middle East closely. He tells International Edition's Victor Beatty there are procedural questions to deal with before the U.S. Embassy can switch from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem.
The United States does lease an area of land in West Jerusalem for a dollar a year. It's done so for nearly 20 years. In preparations for a move, this idea of moving the embassy goes back at least to the early 1990s. So one thing would be there's a massive amount not only of construction that would have to occur, but then moving people and facilities from Tel Aviv. I also think that perhaps this is President Trump's own diplomatic efforts to take from one hand and give back with the other, to say we're going to recognize Jerusalem as the capital but not yet move the embassy, which can't immediately be done anyway, perhaps as a way to mollify Arab and wider global opinion.
Palestinian President Abbas, Jordan's King Abdullah, Egypt's President al-Sisi, and Saudi Arabia's King Salman all joined a mounting chorus of voices that are expressing concern that the unilateral U.S. step would derail the U.S.-led peace effort and unleash turmoil in the region. Is that the case?
Unfortunately, I do think so. The Palestinians have already called for what they call 3 days of rage. One can predict already that there will be street demonstrations. Israeli security forces will likely use deadly force, which in turn will, of course, only portend the possible, and I do stress possible, breakout of a third intifada. It's not simply that the Palestinian population in the West Bank and Gaza, and really throughout the Middle East, is aghast at the decision, but they're also deeply frustrated with the Al-Fatah movement, of which President Abbas is the head of his authority, the Palestinian Authority in the West Bank. They've seen him not only, he and his government, as corrupt, but as having done very little diplomatically for the Palestinians. They accuse him of coddling up too much with the Americans and the Israelis, and they're likely to say, you see, all these years of being the nice guy and what happens in return. So I think their rage will not only be directed against Israel and the United States, but against him too, and that doesn't portend well for President Abbas either.
Michael Fishbach said while the announcement represents a victory for Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, the consequences for the Jewish state could be dire. Israel's security contacts with countries like Saudi Arabia against common enemies like Iran could be jeopardized. Security cooperation with the Palestinians ended, and it could invite UN action. Fischbach also said the decision will be the last straw in any hope of reviving a two-state solution. He said the process is essentially frozen and Israeli settlement activity has a momentum of its own that's carving the West Bank up into what he called a Swiss cheese pattern that makes it almost impossible to find a stretch of land that could become a Palestinian state. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. So, Andrew, what's trending?
Well, after previewing the nominees earlier this week, Time magazine has named their 2017 Person of the Year, and it's actually a number of people. It's the Silence Breakers, the women and the men who have come forward to speak out against sexual harassment and assault. Time writing online that for giving voice to open secrets, for moving whisper networks onto social networks, for pushing us all to stop accepting the unacceptable, the Silence Breakers are the 2017 Person of the Year. And it's quite a lot of notable names, people like Rose McGowan, Ashley Judd, two actresses that have spoken out against Harvey Weinstein and abuses in Hollywood. But it's not just the notable names. There are people that they highlight that have spoken out in the tech industry, in the service and hospitality industries, in the media, and in politics. So there's a lot of different women that they have profiled, and some men as well, who have talked about sexual harassment and assault. Of course, there's a strong social media component to this choice for Person of the Year, because this movement really gained traction with that hashtag MeToo after that trended earlier this year when people revealed their stories about being sexually assaulted or harassed. And Time magazine actually notes the power of social media in publicizing these stories. They say that it became a hashtag, a movement, a reckoning, but it began as great social change nearly always does with individual acts of courage. And we're seeing people even today using that hashtag MeToo. It's trending once again as people are reacting to this article and are sharing their own stories yet again. Now, among the people using those hashtags on social media, there's near universal praise for this choice. Credit to Time magazine for recognizing the bravery of these people for speaking out. And credit as well to all the people who have spoken out. There's a lot of kudos going out to these women and again some men who have spoken out and shared their stories. And there's hope that with Time magazine naming the Silence Breakers as Person of the Year, that even more people will come forward to call out abuse. Now, as that story is trending in the U.S., the other big story related to that that's trending is Senator Al Franken. We've talked about him show before, that he's faced a series of sexual harassment and sexual assault allegations. And today we have eight Democratic senators from Al Franken's Democratic Party who are calling on him to resign from the Senate, including seven female Democratic senators. No word yet whether he will heed that call. It seems that just as looking at social media, it's growing by the minute the number of senators who are calling on his resignation. So we are continuing to watch that and see how that develops. But
We should say that comes just a day after Congressman John Conyers resigned.
Exactly. And Congress is one of the institutions talked about in that Time article and politics generally where sexual harassment and assault really aren't being addressed. And so this is a clear way that it's being addressed both in the House of Representatives with Congressman Conyers and now in the Senate with Senator Franken. And finally, trending also today, hashtag Skirball Fire out in the city of Los Angeles. There is a massive wildfire sweeping through. I know you're going to talk with our correspondent Mike Sullivan in a bit. But it's getting very close to the world-renowned and famous Getty Museum and the University of California at Los Angeles. And as it does get close to those places, we're seeing a lot of videos, really stunning, breathtaking videos and photos on social media of just curtains of fire coming through the mountains, engulfing communities and coming right up to the highway as people drive by. There's one video that I've seen quite a lot on social media where it looks like people are driving into the fire, and I question how they even keep the highway open. But, you know, L.A. is one of those cities with a lot of traffic problems in the U.S., and I think this fire is certainly going to cause that as they shut down those highways. But like I said, you'll have more on that later on in the show.
I will, and having driven in that Los Angeles traffic a time or two, without the fires, but now. Okay, thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. Donald Trump Jr. faces questioning from a House panel. Russia's President Vladimir Putin will seek a fourth term as president. An Afghan peace body offers a Kabul office to the Taliban for talks, and Secretary of State Rex Tillerson says sonic incidents involving diplomats in Cuba were targeted attacks. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
Two of the most common fears people have are arachnophobia, which is a fear of spiders, and ophidiophobia, the fear of snakes. Whether they live in rural communities or in the heart of the big city, people generally get at least a little anxious at the thought of a spider crawling up their arm or a snake slithering between their toes. New research from German and Swedish scientists suggests our fears of spiders and snakes is hereditary and has its origin in evolution. Researchers found babies as young as 6 months who haven't learned of possible dangers associated with some spiders and snakes display signs of stress when they see pictures of the creepy crawly creatures. When shown a photo of a spider or snake instead of a similarly sized and colored flower or fish, the baby's pupils were found to get considerably bigger. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, singer Selena Gomez releases a new single, and we'll have a listen. Authorities in California are calling on tens of thousands of people to flee their homes under a threat from wind-driven wildfires that are scouring communities northwest of Los Angeles. Two fires that burn nearly three dozen homes are being pushed by gusting Santa Ana winds. Firefighters expect to be battling the fires all week. While the fire has just begun in Lakeview Terrace, Ventura County has been fighting a fire for days. And overnight, another fire is burning near the Getty Center, one of the top museums here in the U.S. I spoke with VOA Los Angeles correspondent Mike O'Sullivan.
The major fire, the largest, is burning in Ventura County and in the northwestern parts of Los Angeles County, along the coast and near the coast and a little bit inland. A huge fire up in Ventura, and, you know, well over 100 homes destroyed at this point. And the news today, as we, in the early hours this morning, is that the Sepulveda Pass, which is an area, very busy area in Los Angeles, it separates two sections of the Los Angeles Basin and the San Fernando Valley, which is a suburban area. Some very expensive homes up in this pass, and the Getty Museum, which is a major art institution. There's a fast-moving fire, small, but apparently several homes set on fire, burned down in this area already. And that will be a major focus for firefighters because it's a heavily populated area.
Is it known at this point what has caused these fires?
Well, they know the general causes. And that is, we've had year after year, at least 5 years of drought. Then we've had at least one winter of very heavy rains, which brought back the vegetation. And then we're back into our normal pattern of a very dry summer. We normally don't get any rain or very little rain in Southern California during the summer. So whatever vegetation is out there in the hills, which are close to some of the cities, dries out, and it becomes what the firefighters call fuel. And we had, as a result of the drought, then the heavy rains, then the normal drying in the winter months, we have a very heavy fuel load. And anything can set this off. And when it gets started, if you get warm temperatures, as we've had recently in Southern California, and gusty winds, the fires can just spread like crazy, and that's what we're seeing. And you know, anything, of course, could set them off. It could be arson, it could be an accident, it could be something they call ball lightning out in the desert. So you just don't know immediately, but once they get started, they're very hard to stop.
Well, in the area around Los Angeles where the fire is continuing, you were saying there's some expensive homes around there, but is it a heavily populated area?
Well, it's relatively heavily populated. They're very big single unit homes. I mean, there are mansions, many mansions up there, and other big, nice homes. So they're not heavily populated in the sense of a lot of apartment blocks, but you have large lots, large homes, and a lot of them scattered all up through the hills. A lot of, you know, wealthy people, a lot of Hollywood people. Ronald Reagan had a home in this area, which was known as Bel Air when he was alive. And it's just there are a lot of people up there, and there are mandatory evacuations. The other thing is that it's a major thoroughfare for people commuting, and it's usually just packed with cars. And the northbound lanes, as we understand it, have been closed at this point. And, you know, this is just going to throw off the traffic patterns throughout L.A. These freeways are just jam-packed in the morning, and you just can't drive up through there right now.
VOA Los Angeles correspondent Mike O'Sullivan. This is VOA.
Hello, I'm Carol Castiel, host of VOA's Encounter. Join me and two advocates from the world of politics, public policy, or academia debating critical and controversial issues of our day, bringing depth, perspective, and insight to the world around us. That's Encounter, every Saturday and Sunday on The Voice of America.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there, bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our 5-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
This is International Edition. A singer who's battled health problems gets some recognition in London. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with the details.
Well, we're going to talk about Selena Gomez with Marshmallow and a brand new song that she's got out right now, just released, that she has been performing regularly. She did it at the American Music Awards show a few weeks ago, and she did it on Tuesday night at the British Fashion Awards, held in London. And one thing that was interesting about Selena and her appearance at the Fashion Awards, she changed her outfit 6 times.
My goodness.
The performance. But the other 5 times was just for interviews and just to be seen at the Fashion Awards in the UK. Now, Selena Gomez began her career when she was about 6. She performed on a TV show called Barney and Friends with her friend Demi Lovato. She went on to star in Disney's Wizards of Waverly Place. And Selena now walking around with a blonde hairstyle. That's her new look. She just colored her hair blonde. And she's been talking a lot about getting the Woman of the Year award from the Billboard Women in Music honors that she received last week. When she was on stage, she was presented the award by Elle Fanning. She was on stage with her best friend, Francia Raissa. And Selena cried for a bit. She said, "To be honest, I think Francia should be getting this award because she saved my life." Now, you may recall back in July, Selena Gomez had a kidney transplant. She was near death due to the lupus disease that she has, and she needed a kidney transplant. So her friend, Francia, donated her kidney to Selena Gomez. And so congratulations to Selena Gomez on the Woman of the Year honor. Now she joins Taylor Swift, Pink, Fergie, Beyonce with that special honor. Time magazine also put her in their issue of women who are changing the world. In fact, she was on the cover of that issue. So she's had a great year this past year. Just signed a contract with Puma for $20 million to create a line of Puma athletic wear and active wear. That's on top of the $10 million she already gets from Coach handbags and the money she gets from Pantene shampoo and the other endorsements she's doing. So let's check out Wolves, Selena Gomez, and Marshmallow.
In your eyes, there's a heavy blue, one to love and one to lose. Sweet divine, the heavy truth, what do we want?
don't make me choose. I wanna feel the way that night.
Well, does she have a new album coming in?
Ah, I'm glad you asked. In fact, the answer to that resounding no. Selena Gomez is not working on an album. Right now, she's kind of in singles mode. And that's what she's been doing this past year, is putting out singles. And they've all done very well for her, Fetish and Bad Liar and Hands to Yourself. You know, she just keeps on putting out singles. The reason she doesn't want to do an album is she's not ready to commit to a tour because of her health. And usually with an album, you then have to go on tour as well to promote the album. But her singles are doing so well for her, and her career, you know, has done great. There's a lot of people that are saying that Selena seems to have lost her spark for music. Could be the health factor, could be a lot of other things that are going on. She's now turned her attention towards acting and recently appeared in the new Woody Allen film, which is called Wonder Wheel, with Justin Timberlake and Kate Winslet, that's coming out in 2018. So she's been doing some acting. She's looking to get back into more acting. But musically, she's won 16 Teen Choice Awards, American Music Awards, American Latino Media Arts Awards. She's won all kinds of awards. She's definitely a superstar. And of course, we've been reading lately that she has reunited with Justin Bieber. And we're not sure about the extent of their relationship because they didn't spend Thanksgiving holiday together. And yet they have been seen out and about looking very cozy. So we're not really sure if they have gotten together. She was with The Weeknd for a while. And during the Billboard Awards, she said, "Isn't it great that The Weeknd and I can still remain best friends?" Well, The Weeknd took all her photos off his Instagram account.
Oh, my.
And unfriended her.
Oh,
so
dear.
Maybe he doesn't share that sentiment. But nonetheless, Selena Gomez.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
I've been running through the jungle. I've been running with the wolves to get to you.
The music of Selena Gomez brings us to the end of our show. Please visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
Vietnamese authorities continue to crack down on free speech. The latest victim is activist blogger Nguyen Van Hoa. He was sentenced to 7 years in prison for allegedly conducting propaganda against the state by producing videos and blogging in protest of the government's handling of a devastating toxic waste spill in 2016. Hua's trial lasted a mere 2.5 hours, and he had no attorney to represent him. In addition to the 7-year sentence, the court ruled that he be placed under house arrest for 3 years after his jail term is complete. In April 2016, the Taiwan-owned Formosa Plastics released toxic chemicals from its massive steel plant located at the deepwater port in Ha Tin. The Formosa spill killed an estimated 115 tons of fish and left fishermen and tourism industry workers jobless in 4 central provinces. The company pledged $500 million to clean up and compensate people affected by the spill, but the government has faced protests over the amount of the settlement and the slow pace of payouts. Hua was the first person to broadcast live footage of protests outside the company's steel plant in Ha Tin using a flycam drone. Last October, his footage of more than 10,000 peaceful protesters went viral. Phil Robertson, deputy director of Human Rights Watch's Asia Division, denounced the verdict. "The sentencing of Nguyen Van Hoa shows how profoundly the government's paranoid desire to maintain political control trumps notions of justice and human rights," he said. He added, "How else can one explain that executives of an international firm that poisoned the ocean, ruining the coastal economy in 4 provinces, are free to go about their business, while this idealistic young journalist is heading to prison for helping expose their misdeeds?" State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert has said the trend of increased arrests and convictions in Vietnam of peaceful protests since early 2016 is deeply troubling. The United States calls on Vietnam to release Nguyen Van Hoa, Mother Mushroom, and all other prisoners of conscience, and to allow all individuals in Vietnam to express their views freely and assemble peacefully without fear of retribution.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.